I appreciate particularly. It's drawn from Scripture. It's drawn from the book of Psalms. And I'd like for us to turn tonight to the portion from which that song was taken, Psalms 42 and 43. And I'd like for us to spend some time this evening looking together at these words. And by way of just a title for the message this evening, I would give you, I Just Keep Trusting My Lord. Or we could almost take the title of the song that we sung together this evening, Be Still My Soul. For I think it's equally appropriate to the purpose. Let's read together these psalms. And I think as we read them together, you will see that they do in fact belong together, Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. And there is that which really marks clearly their belonging together, and that is what we could call a chorus or refrain that is found within them. And we'll point that out, God willing. But now let's just read the Scripture, and if you would follow along as I would read this portion aloud. The inscription tells us, to the chief musician, Maskil, which means a contemplative or an instructive psalm or poem, for the sons of Korah. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the help of my countenance and my God. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the help of my countenance and my God. Well, we trust tonight that our God would add his blessing to his word, and may we just pause and ask that of him again in prayer together. Father, we are thankful for the privilege we have of opening the Holy Scriptures. And Father, we do pray, as has been prayed already tonight, we ask you to speak to us through your word. And Father, may the Lord Jesus be exalted in us by that means, as your Spirit takes the word and shows the things of our Savior to us. We pray, Father, you would hear us now and magnify yourself in us and through us for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, we look at these words of Psalms 42 and 43 this evening, and as we've said, they are connected, and you'll notice that verse 5 and verse 11 of Psalm 42 and then verse 5 of Psalm 43 really contain basically the same thought, a thought of address of the psalmist to himself, He's addressing himself and asking him about his discouragement. Why is he disquieted? Why is his soul, as it were, in an uproar? And as the psalmist questions himself about this, we see, I believe, the psalmist in a position of soul distress, and we may at times find ourselves in similar situations. I remember hearing the story told of a man by the name of Jack Huxter. And this was a story told at the time of Brother Spurgeon. Jack Huxter was a man who found himself passing by a church on one occasion, church building, a meeting place, I should say, to be more New Testament. And as he passed by, he heard singing coming out. He walked into the building, and as he sat down, the song that they were, carried him a little too far. He didn't actually go into the building, but he heard the song they were singing as he walked by the building. And as he passed, it was a simple song, and it stuck in his mind. The song said, "I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all in all." And as he heard that song and it stuck in his mind, over time, he began to hum it, to sing it, then to think about it, and the Spirit of God showed him that he was a poor sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ was his all in all, and he came to trust the Savior. So he went back to the church where he'd heard that song sung, and he asked them if he could become part of the assembly there, part of the church. Well, they asked him, "Tell us about your experience." And he said, "Well, this is all I know." He said, "I know I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all in all." And they said, "Is that all you know?" And he said, "Yes." And they said, "Well, we want you to know a little bit more than that." So they sent him back. And he came back to them later, and they said, "Well, tell us, what do you know? What have you learned?" He said, "Well, I've learned this. I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all in all." They said, "Well, tell us, as a believer, don't you ever have low times and high times?" He said, "Well," he said, "I know this. I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all, and I can't get any lower than that." And he said, "Jesus Christ is my all in all, and I can't get any higher than that." They determined they couldn't do anything with him, so they led him into their fellowship. Well, I love that story, I have to tell you. But I also have to confess to you that I'm not quite like Jack Huxter. I know I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all, but I still find myself getting low sometimes. And I think I have some high times, and I know it's because Jesus is my all in all. But some of us may find ourselves, again, like me, unlike Jack Huxter, fighting down times sometimes, fighting discouraging times sometimes, fighting depressing times sometimes. And if you're more like me and not like Jack Huxter, don't worry, you're not just in my company. You're in the company of the psalmist here. Because the psalmist, as we read these words of Psalms 42 and 43, the psalmist finds himself there as well. He finds himself facing some down times. Now, I really have to confess to you, I wish they weren't part of life. I feel about them kind of like Mark Twain said about being tarred and feathered. He said if it wasn't for the honor and dignity of the thing, he'd just soon walked out of town. Well, you know, sometimes I think that about this matter of depression. I sometimes wish you wasn't part of life. I wish there weren't down times, there weren't discouraging times. But I really do believe that they're part and parcel of the fabric of life under the fall, brothers and sisters, life under the curse. And because of that, I'm glad that we see some verses, some scripture that relates to living in that kind of situation. I think it's obvious the psalmist is down because, again, the words of the refrain that marks out these two psalms, the words of the refrain point to that. Verse 5, verse 11 of Psalm 42, and verse 5 of Psalm 43 speak of a man who is speaking to himself to encourage himself in the midst of the down times. Let me just read again verse 5 of Psalm 42, basically the same again as verse 11 and then as verse 5 of Psalm 43. But Psalm 42:5 reads, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." Now there's the best thing to do when you find yourself down. Hope in God. And I believe what we see in Psalms 42 and 43 is a movement from the psalmist as he finds himself in that discouragement, and he looks very carefully at it, and there's some movement as he moves from that place of discouragement to finding some encouragement in his God. Now, we're not told about this psalm that David was the author of it. It could be. We do know there's a time, though, in David's life toward the close of 1 Samuel where the compatriots of David, those who'd cast their lot with him, spoke about stoning him when Ziklag had been raided by the Amalekites. And the Bible tells us David encouraged himself in the Lord. So these may well be the words of David, but either way, they're the inspired words of Scripture, so they can help us. Let's look together at the psalm, and I'd ask you to notice, first of all, verses 1 through 5 of Psalm 42. We have here, if you will, what we could call drought or confusion, as the psalmist speaks. Verse 1 reads, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" As we see what we could call drought of soul or drought of spirit that marks the psalmist in verses 1 through 5 here, we see some element of confusion. And the first thing that marks the drought that the psalmist is speaking of, that's found there in those verses 1 and 2, is the absence of the sense of God's presence in the psalmist's life. There's an absence of the sense of God's presence. As those words that are found there occur, and as they were as well sung this morning, we often hear those words, I believe, in a worship context applied to the thirst of soul that we feel for God in a general way. But I don't believe that that's actually what's in view here in Psalm 42. Now, if you were to go over with me, and you don't need to, but listen at least as I read, over in the words of Psalm 63, we read these words. David says, while he was in the wilderness of Judah, Psalm 63:1, "O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." Now, I believe in the case of Psalm 63:1, we do have an instance where the psalmist, in a general way, is thirsty for God. Now, to me, the words there are great. David's in a wilderness, in a cave in Judah. What would your mind be on if you were in a wilderness, in a cave in Judah? David's mind was on the Lord. And he said, "Lord, I'm thirsty for more of you." There's a great spirit there. But I believe in Psalm 42:1, the thirst that is spoken of there differs from the thirst of Psalm 63. The thirst in Psalm 63 is general. David's longing for more of God. But in Psalm 42, David is longing for God because he senses an absence of the sense of God's presence. And in that discouraging time of the lack of God's presence, he says, "Lord, like the deer pants after the water brook, so my soul is breaking with longing, so that I might sense once again your presence." Some of us may have been there at times in our lives where there seems to be a withdrawal of the favorable sense of God's presence. I believe that's what David is experiencing, or the psalmist is experiencing here. He doesn't sense the presence of God's favor, God's mercies, as he has at other times. And that leads him to cry out in the sense of that drought of spirit, to cry out, "God, I'm thirsty for you. Like the deer pants, so I long for you." But not only that, this drought was not just marked by the absence of God's presence. It was also marked by the attacks of unbelievers. Verse 3, we see that The psalmist says, "My tears have been my meat day and night." The only food that the psalmist knew was his sorrow. His tears had been his meat. "While they continually say unto me, where is thy God?" Here we see the attacks of unbelievers that mark the drought of soul the psalmist was experiencing. You know, it's interesting how the enemy knows what is precious to the hearts of God's people. The enemy knows where to touch us, if you will, at the deepest core of our being to cause sorrow. For the believer, where is that? When the enemy cries, "Where's your God now?" You see, really, in the final analysis for us as believers, the most important thing in our lives, what matters most, is Him. And so when we sense that He's not present, and the enemy comes along, if you will, and turns the knife a little more deeply and says, "Where is your God?" That cuts to the quick. That cuts to the core. And that's where the psalmist finds himself, in the midst of this drought of soul, in the midst of the confusion that this downtime had brought. Something else that we see that's there, I think, as well in verse 4, is an absence of past blessings and former mercies. David, or the psalmist, goes on to say in verse 4, "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day." As the psalmist reflects on the times of the gathered worship of God's people in Israel, he remembers those things, but they only cause sadness at this point because they're no longer present with him. You know, so often, a good time of fellowship with the people of God, a good time of meeting, of gathering around our Lord, is an encouragement. But here it added to David's discouragement. It added to the drought because he wasn't experiencing those at that time. And so he had to look back on what was just a memory, what was just a shell, as God's people had gathered. And he'd been in the midst of that joy, but it wasn't his any longer. This is the first movement of the psalm, the first part of this combined psalm here, in which we see confusion and drought. Sometimes to me there's nothing sadder than an empty church building after a good service. There's been such joy, such blessing, and all of a sudden, there I am, by myself. Still good to reflect on the mercies, but David finds himself in a situation that's harder than that, and he cries out to God. But he also speaks to himself. And that's where we come to the first use of the chorus in verse 5. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope in God, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." You know, sometimes it's good to speak to yourself. I can't remember why Phil Baumberger used to say like to speak to himself, but he used to have two reasons, some of you may remember, that he gave why he liked to do so. One, he liked talking to an intelligent person. That was one of them, I remember. But I don't remember the second one, you know. But as it is, sometimes we need to talk to ourselves. You know, it's interesting how the psalmist does that. He does it in Psalm 103, doesn't he? "Bless the Lord," what? "Oh, my soul." He's basically saying, self, praise God. Sometimes we need to tell ourselves to do that. Here the psalmist, though, is saying to himself, "What are you so upset about? What has gotten your goat, self?" Sometimes when we find ourselves in down times, we do well to do what the world calls, I guess today, a reality check, you know? We do well to speak to ourselves and say, "Why are you so down, self? What are you so upset about? Why are you so unsettled?" Because sometimes when we find ourselves in down times, we lose sight of the verities, don't we? The eternal verities. We lose sight of the fact that though we might be in a down time, God's still on the throne. Though we might be in a down time, Christ has died and been raised and is seated. The story is told about Martin Luther on one occasion that he was going through a time of depression, and his wife, you know, he called her Kitty My Rib, Katharina von Bora. Katharina came to the table dressed in black, and he said, "Who has died? Why are you in mourning?" And she said, "Well, I must presume from the way you've been acting, you believe God is dead." It was a reality check for Luther. Sometimes you and I need to remind ourselves, God is not dead, nor doth He sleep. We need to take hold of the fact that there's no need for us to be so unsettled, so disquieted, so cast down. Why? Because the realities of the gospel, the realities of Scripture, still stand true. The foundation of the Lord still standeth sure. And we can find encouragement there. And so we see, I believe, the beginning of the movement that is marked in these two psalms as they are coupled together. Verses 6 and following, if we could look quickly at them. The psalmist acknowledges, we see in verses 6 and 7, an acknowledgement of the psalmist's condition, but also of the psalmist's God. He's acknowledging his condition, but he's also acknowledging who God is. "O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me." Here the psalmist acknowledges his condition again. What he has said to himself in verse 5, he says to God in verse 6, "My soul is cast down." But then he adds this, he acknowledges God, and he says, "Therefore will I remember thee." Because my soul is cast down, Lord, there's only one thing for me to do. What is that? Remember you. Fix my eyes, fix my mind, fix my heart on you. And you know, that's so important. He speaks of the land of Jordan, probably across from the area of Bethlehem. He speaks of the land of the Hermonites. That would have been to the far north beyond Dan, which was to the extreme north of Israel. The Israelites spoke of from Dan to Beersheba when they spoke of from north to south, or if you will, from the headlight to the tailpipe of Israel. Well, Hermon was on beyond Dan to the far north. So he's speaking again of that sense of absence, that sense of being away from God's presence. But in the midst of that, he says, "I will remember you." The hill Mizar, it's understood that Mizar means little. And some believe the little hill referred to here may in fact be Zion. And the psalmist is in effect saying, "Though I be in the Mount Hermon, far from you, as I remember you, I'm transported to Zion." I don't know if that's quite the understanding, but that makes some sense to me. You know, one thing that can always help us when we find ourselves in times of discouragement is to remember the Lord. Now, I mean not only in the sense of memory, but in the sense that we have just done at the 6:30 hour. One of those things that helps our hearts, one of those things that encourages us when we find ourselves down, is to gather with God's people in remembrance of our Savior. "I will remember thee." And I'm afraid sometimes our tendency is to go the opposite direction, is it not? We feel down, so we think, "I don't feel like going to the remembrance meeting." But one of the best things we can do is check it and go the other way and say, "I'm going to remember Him." As the psalmist speaks in verse 7, he senses the overwhelming character of the trials, of the discouragement that's his, and he speaks of it as waves going over him. Brothers and sisters, I'm glad that verse 7 is really only applicable to one for God's people, and that is to our Lord Jesus Christ. The psalmist says there, "Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts, all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me." You see, there is only one over whom all of God's waves and God's billows passed. And that is our Lord Jesus Christ. When on the cross, as our surety and substitute, He bore fully the weight of God's wrath for us. And because of that, none of us will ever have to say, all of your waves and all of your billows have lapped over me, Lord. Why? Because He braved the storm for me. His open bosom was our ward. It braved the storm for me, as Miss Cousin put it in that great hymn, O Christ, what burdens bowed thy head. So it is that never will we be in that point where we'll be fully overwhelmed by the waves of God, because Christ braved the storm and bore the waves of wrath for us, and we can rejoice in that. So we see then in what we could call in these verses confession, where the depths of sorrow are referred to. We see the psalmist acknowledging his condition, but also acknowledging his God. But we see as well, in the words of verse 8, the anticipation of God's renewed mercies and blessings. Back in verse 4, the psalmist had spoke of the absence of those things. But in verse 8, there's the anticipation of the renewal of those things, God's mercies and blessings. Notice how he expresses it. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I love the spirit with which this verse breathes in its anticipation of God's renewed mercies. Because one thing that a lot of times you lose when you get down is what? A song. And one time you find it hardest to sing is in when? The night. And yet what does the psalmist say? He says, the Lord's going to command His loving kindness in the morning in the daytime, and in the night His song will be with me. The Lord's going to restore His mercies, and I'm going to sing again, and I'm going to sing in the nighttime. I like that thought. I love to sing. I can remember times when I'd get out and mow the lawn. When we lived over Guilford County, I remember getting on the riding mower, and I'd get out there and I would sing, and I can imagine anybody who'd have driven by who could have heard me singing on that mower would have thought I was crazy. I'd get on that mower and sing something like, "And Can It Be," or "Come Ye Sinners, Poor and Needy," and I'd sing, and of course the mower was roaring, and I've got to sing above the mower, so I'd sing a little louder than the mower. And sometimes, though, when down times come, we lose our song, don't we? But we can have this confidence as we look to God. The Lord's going to command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night, His song will be mine. Remember those words that Elihu spoke in the book of Job? He spoke of how none ask, "Where is my Maker who does what? Giveth me songs in the night." And Miss Crosby picked up that thread when she sang about her Redeemer, remember? Her Redeemer who gives her songs in the night. And the psalmist here is seen as he confesses his situation, as he speaks of the depths that he's going through, he senses that God is going to act on his behalf. I might say one more thing about verse 8 and then we'll move on. When he says the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, what that reminds me of, and I don't know why, is Psalm 23:6. You remember the blessed end of the shepherd's song? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now one boy said there were three things that were going to follow him. Surely goodness and mercy. You remember that? But on a more serious note, I like the idea of surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Someone has spoken of goodness and mercy there, and I believe with some degree of rightness. If Psalm 23 is the shepherd's psalm, then Psalm 23:6, goodness and mercy are the Lord's sheepdogs. And they're going to follow me as the Lord's sheep all the days of my life. Aren't you glad? Surely goodness and mercy will follow us. And here the loving kindness, the mercy of God, chesed in the Hebrew, that covenant mercy, that steadfast loving kindness is going to go with me all of my days. and the Lord will command it. Get over there. That sheep needs mercy. Get over there, sheepdog. He'll command His loving kindness after us. The psalmist goes on to speak in verses 9 and 10 in appealing to God, in seeking an answer from the Lord. And we see that, an answer sought from the Lord. I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Now we have the same question that we saw back there in verse 3. But here the psalmist is doing what? He's addressing that to God. And there's a movement in which he is in fact speaking to God and carrying his need to the Lord. We need to remember we ought always to do that. Talk to yourself, but as you talk to yourself, tell yourself, now take it to Jesus. You know, it's interesting how so much of our hymnody tells us to do that, doesn't it? Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. We have so many hymns that speak to us about the need to take our burdens to the Lord and leave them there. And that's what the psalmist is now doing. There's movement again as he takes his need to the Lord. He asks God about it. We need to have that kind of persevering faith, brothers and sisters, as we seek the Lord. John Jasper was a black Baptist preacher who had been a slave, freed. John Jasper's most famous sermon was "The Sun Do Move." He preached it many times, countless times. But John Jasper was asked on one occasion, "Brother Jasper, what if you've been wrong all these years? What if you wind up in hell?" Brother Jasper answered, said, "If I wind up in hell, I'm going to start praising the Lord Jesus Christ for saving an old sinner like me." He said, "That old devil won't be able to stand that, and he'll run me right out of hell." Well, brothers and sisters, that's the kind of faith we ought to have in our God. That we keep on seeking Him, we keep on praying, we keep on looking to Him, so that wherever we find ourselves, we realize He is worthy. He's worthy of our trust. He's worthy of our confidence. He's worthy of our prayers. And He's worthy of our prayers. Amen. Praise. Amen. That's the kind of God we have. Let's move on quickly to close as we look at verses 1 through 5 of Psalm 43. And here we see deliverance, or if you will, confidence. In verses 1 and 2, the psalmist seeks acquittal. Acquittal is sought. "Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For Thou art the God of my strength." You could say this is, "You are my strong God." That's who He is too. "Why dost Thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy?" As the psalmist speaks of here, if you will, it's as though I can hear between the lines the psalmist saying, "Enough of this. Lord, You're my strong God. Act for me now. Lord, bear Your arm and move on my behalf, please." And I'm glad we can seek God and ask that of Him. "Lord, speak to the situation. It's beyond me. I can't do anything about it. But I know You can." You know, we've sung tonight the words of "Be Still My Soul." I love that second stanza. "Be still my soul, Thy God doth undertake to guide the future as He has the past. Thy hope, Thy confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last." And I love this last bar of the second stanza. "Be still my soul. The waves and wind still know His voice who ruled them while He dwelt below." The Lord is still able to get up in the ship and say, "Shut up," to the winds and waves. And you know what? They lie down like a whipped puppy. Because He's that kind of God. He's able to act on our behalf. Well, in the words that close out the psalm, verses 3 and 4, we see the assurance of joy's return in God's presence. Joy will return. I will find myself in the presence of God. All of that the psalmist speaks of in assurance there. And he says in verses 3 and 4, O, send out thy light and thy truth. If you will, sounds like more sheepdogs to me here. Send out thy light and truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Now notice the assurance. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp I will praise thee, O God my God. Praise will return. Joy will return. God will bring his servant back into his presence. The servant will sense again the presence of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the song of the Lord. Here we see assurance. Now, has the psalmist's circumstances changed over this time? Circumstances are the same. But what has changed in the heart of the psalmist? The attitude of assurance and faith in God who is his rock. Brothers and sisters, may we always remember when we find ourselves in distressing circumstances or in down times, may we not lose sight of our rock. May we run to him. May we say in the words of Psalm 31 to him, Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. And having gone through this movement that we see in these three stanzas, the psalmist asks again in conclusion in verse 5, Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Aren't you glad to know Him as your God this evening? If you're here and you do not, would you look to Him in Jesus Christ? But if you do, may you be assured that God is able to keep you, to preserve you, indeed to present you one day faultless before His throne with exceeding joy. And thank God until that day He's able to give you joy in the journey as you look to Him in faith. Let's pray together. Father, we ask You to bless the Word to the good of the souls of Your people here. Grant us all, Father, to be able to take it, to speak to ourselves solemnly sometimes, to ask ourselves, Why are You cast down? Father, but above all, to look to You, and to say to ourselves, as we would still our souls, our God reigns. Father, give us encouragement, we pray. Bless Your saints here. Meet the many needs that have been mentioned that Your people have. We give You glory in it all, in Jesus' name. Amen.